Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with our special guest this week, Ralph Martin. Ralph is here to talk about his new book, Church in Crisis, Pathways Forward. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the program this week, I'd encourage you to go for Monday and Tuesday shows, which were packed. Those are available on our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to them right there or download them on whatever device allows you to listen to them at your leisure. You can also download, best way to hear the programs and everything that we're producing is download the Renewal Ministries app and the Ave Maria app as well. So, Ralph, welcome back.
Hey, Pete, good to be back. As usual, we're kind of romping in the vision, or we're cruising in the narrow way that leads to life or something.
Yeah. No, it's good. We've been looking at, as we mentioned, friends, that the book is divided really in two parts. One is looking deeply at the crisis we're facing. The other is pathways forward out and through and out of the crisis. And so one of the things I'd like to talk about today, Ralph, is the undermining of clarity about Jesus as Savior of the world. That's part of what you address here. And it's a bigger deal, I think, than many people realize.
Yeah. No, it's one of the things I'm most concerned about. You know, like when the Amazon Synod was going on, people were talking about, gee, I wonder if they're going to ordain married men as priests, or I wonder if they're going to ordain women as deacons. And everybody breathed a big sigh of relief when the final document didn't say that, although it left the door open for further developments. But my main concern with the Amazon Synod, with a lot of things, is that emphasis on the horizontal, its emphasis on improving this world as like the most urgent thing that the church should be doing. I remember Cardinal Czerny, when he was had a lot to do with the Amazon Synod, when he kind of like made a speech afterwards, he says, the most important issue for the world today is the Amazon. If we save the Amazon, we'll save the world. I am really concerned about the overemphasis on improving this world, along with the de-emphasis of the importance of every human being coming to know Jesus Christ and believing and repenting and being saved. You know, the mission of the primary mission of the church isn't to save the Amazon. The primary mission of the church is to save human beings' lives, to rescue them from this world, which is under control of the evil one. Jesus says this world is under control of the evil one. You know, that's who's in control. When Jesus is in control, that's who's in control. And I'm just really concerned about blurring the distinction between the church and the world, and we're all one big human family, and we all need to, you know, really start relating as brothers and sisters together. Yes, that would be wonderful, but as a matter of fact, we're fallen human beings, and it's very hard for us to relate as brothers and sisters without the help of Jesus and a real growth in holiness. So I'm just really concerned about this. I think it goes along with the whole fog of universalism that's seeping into the church, like, certain theological theories have become very popular. Well, maybe God's so merciful that everybody will be saved, or other people say nobody will ever be able to finally resist God's grace, and in the end, everybody will be saved, or there'll be other chances after death, and just sort of undermining what's revealed to us in sacred scripture about this is the only time we have. The time between the first and second comings of Jesus is the time to tell everybody that Jesus is the Lord. And like it says in Acts chapter 17, we have to call all people everywhere to repent. Or like Jesus said in Luke 24, before he ascended to his Father, he said, stay in the city until power from on high comes on you, and then you'll carry out the mission, and you'll preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. We need to be preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins to the whole world. We need to proclaim Jesus, and we need to challenge everybody to answer the question for themselves. Who do you say he is? That's the main mission of the church. I'm so concerned to see it being submerged in a sea of interreligious dialogue and human development and care for the environment. And, you know, we're all together. And also the alliance with secular global agencies that the Vatican's getting into. I mean, it's just a big ball of wax there, Peter.
Yeah, and it's a matter of a kind of a radical imbalance that kind of is taking hold. Certainly the church cares about dialoguing with every culture. We care about the human situation in terms of poverty and the environment, stewarding the environment. That's all there.
Yes.
But what's happened is a kind of displacement of the fundamental mission,
yes,
the salvation of human beings,
yeah,
and there's a serious presumption that then becomes operative, that's not really something we have to be concerned about, because you said, because everybody's going to be saved pretty much. Maybe Hitler won't. It might be a couple people, but pretty much we're going that way. So let's just get after fixing the world.
Right. That's,
you know
that's
what I mean?
Figure, yeah,
that's
exactly,
kind,
yeah.
That's kind of the idea. And I thought some of the implication of it, I know you mentioned the Amazon Synod, and there's a lot of detail in the book about that synod and other things. Two different bishops that were missionaries or leaders in the Amazon had two different responses to what's going on. I think that really do express the confusion. The one bishop who said he'd been there for 30-some years and he never baptized one person. And he was boasting about
that.
You know, because he didn't think, like, I don't have to. They're already saved. They're poor. They're automatically saved. Now let's just let them be who they're going to be. Then another bishop was on a different island in the synod. And he said, you know, one of the things I see is that all kinds of people have come into conversion and to Christ, and it's been a real benefit to their life, but it's come through Protestants who carry Bibles and they believe in the Bible.
Yeah.
He said they're actually sharing who Christ is and sharing the New Testament, sharing the gospel with people, and people are getting baptized and they're not losing their identity as Amazonians or whatever. They're losing, like everybody loses their identity on a fundamental level when you come to Christ. Yes, that's happening.
Yeah.
But you see these are two bishops and they're saying totally opposite things.
Yeah.
It's exactly what expresses the confusion about this issue of the centrality of the person of Jesus.
Yeah, I quote a Brazilian evangelical pastor in the book too, where he says, you know, 30, 40 years ago, Brazil was 90% Catholic. Now it's 60% or 50%. And you guys are focusing on human development. We're preaching Jesus Christ. And that's what people want. People need the Lord. And it, you know, why don't we wake up and smell the coffee? I mean, why do we keep doubling down on pastoral strategies that are bankrupt, you know, are empty, and people aren't being fed in their souls, you know?
And it's not a matter of one, you have to pick one or the other.
Yeah.
That's not it at all.
Yeah.
It's a matter of right order.
Right.
And priority and having the Lord's priorities first and being faithful to what the church is meant to do and meant to be.
Right.
Now, one of the things that I think people do find confusing sometimes, Ralph, is this distinction, we're all children of God. And then on that basis, moving into a presumption that means everybody already is in some way engaged in the work of salvation or that's happening to them already,
Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
So just leave people alone. Like, help make the distinction between image of God and children of God.
Yeah, well, 1 John talks about those who are children of the devil and those who are children of God. And the whole New Testament, absolutely consistent in every single book of the New Testament, those who are the adopted sons and daughters of God are those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ and been baptized, you know, and brought into God's family. Our natural default situation, being born, is not being born into God's family. Being born into a world with potential, with hope, with the possibility of being brought into God's family. But you don't just drift into God's family. You need to make a decision. And the decision centers around Jesus Christ and the sacraments of the church and the Catholic Church. And so, yeah, there's a lot of loose language. There didn't used to be. The Catholic Church used to be very careful about not calling God's creatures sons and daughters of God. But it's gotten really woolly in recent years, and people now are a little confused. Maybe everybody's a son and daughter of God in the sense that they've been brought into God's family, and they have the Trinity living in them, and they're destined for eternal life, and that's just not true.
Yeah, John's gospel, you know, Jesus said, unless you be born again by water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, we all have biological life. We're all made in the image and likeness of God in that life, but biological life is the clock's ticking for everybody.
Yeah.
And we're dying. We're under the power of sin and death at work in the world.
Right.
And what we need is the new life that's in Christ, you know? And so, but what about all those people out there, Ralph, who, this is what people always fall back on. What about all those people who never hear the gospel and wow, it seems super narrow and unfair and unjust. And so
God is not unjust. He'll give every single person a chance to experience light and revelation coming from him, and depending on their response to it will depend on their eternal destiny. The Catholic Church clearly teaches, and again, Vatican II, very sound teaching, section 16 of Constitution on the Church, that it's possible under certain circumstances for people who haven't heard the gospel to be saved. What are those circumstances? What are those conditions? Condition number one, they have to be inculpably ignorant of the gospel. It's not their own fault that they haven't heard the gospel. Now, I know sometimes when I invite somebody to an event, they know they're going to hear the gospel, and they don't want to hear it, you know? So that could be a degree of culpability there, not really wanting to hear the gospel. Catechism of the Catholic Church also says is that it's not enough to be ignorant of the gospel or of the moral law, but you actually have to seek to find out what it is. You know, you have to be making some effort. So that's the second condition. even though you're inculpably ignorant of the gospel, you have to be wanting to know what the truth is, because God has revealed something of himself to every human being. Romans 1, chapter 1 says, God has revealed his divinity, his power, to the whole world through the creation. Romans number chapter 2 says that everybody's going to be judged on the light that they've been given. God gives light to everybody's conscience. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church says nobody should be deemed ignorant of the natural law, that everybody knows it's wrong to kill people. Everybody knows it's wrong to take another man's wife. Everybody knows it's wrong to steal. Everybody knows it's wrong to lie. And so depending on how we respond to that light that God's giving us is going to be determine our eternal destiny. The third condition is that they're trying to live the moral law as best they can according to the light that God gives them. Now, people hear that, and what happens is they say, oh, I'm so glad to hear that God's going to give everybody a chance, and I am too. It's good. But they go on to presume that, of course, people are fulfilling all those conditions. You know, they must be all good people wanting to know the truth and seeking God and living. But that's not the case. And so the last three sentences of Lumen Gentium 16 says, very often, deceived by the evil one, human beings exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship the creature rather than the creator. Therefore, it's urgent that we carry out the mission of evangelization, because there's lots of people out there, it says very often, that aren't seeking God, that aren't inculpably ignorant of the gospel, that aren't living according to the light of their conscience. So those people are in great risk. You know, sometimes people say, maybe it would be better if people didn't hear the gospel, then they wouldn't be responsible for responding. That's not true at all. People who don't know the gospel are in tremendous danger. I mean, the world, the flesh, and the devil are powerful, working on everybody's life. And some of us who have all the help of the gospel, the sacraments, the church, one another, the body of Christ, sometimes we choose the darkness rather than the light. How much easier is it to choose darkness when you don't have the help of all that light?
Yeah. Ralph, some of our listeners might be thinking, hey, you know, Ralph, Peter, I'm with you on this, but I got to tell you, my heart's broken because, you know, I have children who are no longer practicing the faith, and it's a real issue, and they're not listening to what I have to say about it. They don't want to know about it. And I'm just really discouraged, and something inside me wants to believe that everybody's going to be saved.
Right.
So how do I handle that? How should I think about that? What can I do?
We have to be really careful here. This is a very painful moment where we have to make a decision about who we're following and who we're believing. And Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before my Father in heaven. And we can't choose sentimental relationships with anybody over Jesus. And so if our son and daughter is telling us that unless we unconditionally accept the lifestyle they're living, or they're not coming home on Thanksgiving, we have to say, oh, please come home on Thanksgiving, but I can't agree with your lifestyle, because it's going to lead you to unhappiness in this life and unhappiness in the next. But we should never give up hope for any of our children who are away from the Lord. We should always love them. We should always be every now and then throw out a little kind of sample word, see if there's new openness there. You know, life has a way of disabusing people of illusions, you know. Suffering has a way of disabusing people of fantasies. And there might be an open down the road, but also prayer and fasting. Jesus says some of these demons can't be cast out except by prayer and fasting. So Mary of Fatima said, it's really important that we offer sacrifice for the salvation of souls, for reparation for sins. So never give up. Never give up. Amen. Jesus is powerful. He has ways of reaching people that we can't even imagine.
And he loves your kids more than you do.
Yep.
And that's something that's really true. So friends, you can get A Church in Crisis Pathways Forward at Amazon. It's going to come a little delayed, but you can also get it at Renewal Ministries. Go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can order the book there. God bless you. Have a great day. Ralph will be back with us again tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.